This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharisa, the editor-in-chief over at numberfire.com, and this is episode 66, the Mario Lemieux episode of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the Number Fire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. What the hell, Amari Cooper? That's really all I want to say for today's intro. What the hell, Amari Cooper? But yes, Amari Cooper is involved in the first transaction of this week's show. But before we dig in, remember that with the start of the NBA season, and I know that some of you love the NBA, it's time to get on the ball with FanDuel Scout. The free app gives up-to-the-minute injury notifications, player analysis, and game time updates, so your starting lineup isn't filled with injured bench riders. Plus, Scout has advanced analytics and game previews powered by NumberFire, making every lineup decision you make an informed one. Download the app now and get started. All right, I guess it's time. Let's talk about Amari Cooper. Hold Amari Cooper. Now, a lot of you guys know that a couple of weeks ago, I said to buy Amari Cooper. I'm not saying that right now to pat myself on the back. I'm saying that right now because I don't want you to continue to go buy Amari Cooper. Because recency bias is a real thing. Amari Cooper's market value shot up this past week. Buying Amari Cooper now is not buying low anymore. People focus far too much on what's happened recently as opposed to looking at that greater picture. And that greater picture has been pretty ugly for Amari Cooper this season. For as good as his week 7 numbers were, the 5 games leading up to that point showed a wide receiver who was straight up losing fantasy football matchups for you. It was one of those situations where it was tough to bench Amari Cooper because it's Amari Cooper, but at the same time, him in your lineup was not producing. Amari Cooper was not giving you fantasy points. But if you think back to me talking about why you should be buying Amari Cooper, it was because of the fact that what he had done up until that point of his career was legitimately elite. Only a handful of players had had back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving seasons to start their career, and those players were basically Hall of Fame wide receivers. And then on top of that, some of the matchups that Amari Cooper had this season were pretty rough. They were objectively tough. So taking a 4-game sample of Amari Cooper not producing in fantasy football and saying, yep, Amari Cooper is a bust, really was not a fair thing to do for Amari Cooper. But with that being said, I'm not here to brag about Amari Cooper's return. That would be idiotic. That would be so stupid, and that would not be me doing my job well. Let's look at what happened in week 7. Derek Carr threw the ball 52 times in that contest. That's something that he's done just 4 times in his entire career. And the Raiders did move Amari Cooper around the field a little bit more. He played a little bit more in the slot. That's a very smart thing for the Raiders to do. Imagine that. Get the ball into a playmaker's hands. And he also saw a lot of Terrence Mitchell. Terrence Mitchell is terrible. He's been an awful cornerback this year. And while the Chiefs may look like they're good defensively, which would make Amari Cooper's performance look even better, that's not really the case. Coming into week 7, our numbers at NumberFire had the Chiefs as a bottom half secondary in the NFL. And the Chiefs had allowed the most air yards by far to opposing offenses according to airyards.com. You can produce against the Kansas City Chiefs secondary and defense. The defense itself has been underperforming all year long. So I guess you might be asking, why wouldn't you sell Amari Cooper then? You have games where he legitimately was in your starting lineup just rotting there. He was losing you fantasy matchups. Why would you not sell him now after this one big performance? Well, if you can get really good value, then feel free to sell him. That's fine. But there's still that notion that he did have tough matchups prior to this week 7 game. And to be honest, the upcoming schedule is not that bad for Amari Cooper, at least in the short term. They get a very average matchup against Buffalo in week 8, and then they'll face a beatable Miami secondary in week 9. We just saw Josh McCown torch them. And then after a week 10 bye, Amari Cooper gets a beautiful matchup against the New England Patriots. So there's a chance that his value actually does increase over the next few weeks. That's why he's a hold. But if you can't take on the risk of holding on to him, or if you fear that things won't be so easy moving forward, I think it's fine to look for a trade partner. Because we've seen it in the past too. Amari Cooper week in and week out has not been consistent. He's posted good end of season numbers, don't get me wrong. And he could still do the same thing this year after that blow up performance in week 7. But Amari Cooper, the big thing with him, has kind of been inconsistency. And we might just be getting that again in 2017. And if you can't handle that, then trade Amari Cooper now. add Corey Davis. Corey Davis is on 75% of Yahoo waiver wires right now, which I guess is understandable because he hasn't seen game action since week two. But Corey Davis, in week one, when he played for Tennessee, saw 10 targets for a very, very, very nice 69 yards. And this past week, Corey Davis himself said that he was, quote, real close to returning to action. Now, if you add Corey Davis this week, that means you have to hold on to Corey Davis during their bye. But if you don't add Corey Davis this week, you're probably not going to be able to. There's going to be more competition on the waiver wire entering week nine than in week eight, because in week nine, Tennessee's actually playing football. We have a very small sample of Corey Davis performing. He had 24% of Tennessee's targets in that week one game. And who knows, maybe Corey Davis is a very, very special talent. I think that Corey Davis was easily the best wide receiver in this year's draft class. And that Tennessee offense clearly needs something. They need that spark. I'm not saying Corey Davis is a league-winning player, but if you need wide receiving help, Corey Davis is most definitely a guy that you should be adding this week. By Demaryius Thomas. The Broncos have 10 points over their last two games. And without Emmanuel Sanders in week seven, Demaryius Thomas caught 2 of 6 targets for 9 yards. But let's put this into perspective. In that contest, he had an 81-yard catch and run that was called back. And the Chargers cornerbacks are talented. They might have started off slow, but they have good corner play. Casey Hayward was a stud last year, and Trevor Williams looks great this year. According to PFF, Trevor Williams has allowed the 15th lowest quarterback rating against this season entering week 7. Demaryius Thomas has been fine from a volume standpoint too. He's averaging over 7 targets per game, and he has a target market share that's close to 24%. And he ranks 16th in receiving yards at the position despite the fact that he's had his bye and he's had a game with 11 yards and 9 yards. He's not doing much in fantasy football because he hasn't found the end zone. But given his yardage and reception totals and regressing those numbers based on data from the last 6 years, he should have between 2 and 3 touchdowns. So based strictly on the number of receptions that he has and the number of receiving yards that he has, players in the past with those numbers have seen 2 or 3 touchdown receptions. Demaryius Thomas has 0. And upcoming for the Broncos are the Chiefs, just talked about them, the Eagles, and the Patriots. Those are, at the very least, 2+ matchups. Maybe this is the stretch where Demaryius Thomas finally finds the end zone. Add Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington. Marshawn Lynch, while a hilarious human being, is suspended for week 8. And that brings opportunity for both Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington. They both split work when Marshawn Lynch was ejected from that week 7 game on Thursday night. And we didn't get a lot of information from that game necessarily. They both ended up playing almost an identical number of snaps. Jalen Richard had 26 and DeAndre Washington had 25. And they each carried the ball 9 times. And across the season, Jalen Richard has barely played more than DeAndre Washington. So if you're looking to prioritize one over the other, I guess that I might go with DeAndre Washington over Jalen Richard, but I also think that this is going to be a pretty strong 50-50 split. The only reason why I would go with DeAndre Washington over Jalen Richard is because he had a better college profile. He ranked higher in my prospect model. My analysis of DeAndre Washington coming out of school looks better than Jalen Richard. That's literally the only reason. I thought they both actually looked pretty good against the Chiefs too. The one thing that I do want to note as well with this transaction is that when you're adding these guys off the waiver wire this week, there's a chance that it's not just a 1 week transaction. Sure, Lynch will be back in 2 weeks. I totally get that, but he struggled this year. According to NumberFire's success rate metric, which as you guys know, looks at the percentage of positive expected points runs that are made by a running back, Lynch currently has a 29% success rate. Jalen Richard's is better than that. DeAndre Washington's is not, but both Richard and DeAndre Washington have smaller sample sizes. I don't know how much we can take away from that. Marshawn Lynch, though, has not been good as a lead back. That's the main point. What that means is there might be opportunity for these guys to carve out some sort of role if they do have a big performance here in week 8. We see that happen all the time with running backs. So I would not break the bank for one of these guys off the waiver wire this week. Not at all. But I also think the Raiders need to utilize these players a little bit more in their backfield because Marshawn Lynch has not been all that effective. Sell Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry now has 3 touchdowns in each of his last 3 games, and all 3 of those scores have come within the opponent's 10-yard line. Across an entire season, that would mean that Jarvis Landry would see 16 targets from within his opponent's 10. Over his first 3 years of his career, he's tallied 24 of those targets. So we're talking about a player who has seen about 8 of those targets per year, now pacing for 16 over his last 3 games. And it's probably not a coincidence that Jarvis Landry has seen those 3 targets and touchdowns in games where Devontae Parker has either been injured or completely out. Because over the Dolphins' first 3 games, Jarvis Landry had just 1 target from within his opponent's 10-yard line, and he did not score on that play. Devontae Parker had 2. And that's really what this comes down to. We know that Jarvis Landry can provide some sort of high floor each week in PPR formats, but he's traditionally not been a touchdown scorer. If and when Devontae Parker is part of this mix, those looks from within the 10-yard line should be a little bit limited. Jarvis Landry won't see as many of them. And here's the other thing too. The Dolphins have been the most pass-heavy team from that area of the field this year. From within the opponent's 10-yard line, the Dolphins have a 2.75 pass-to-run ratio. The average in the NFL is 1.13. You would think eventually that that number for the Dolphins will regress. And when that happens, there's even fewer opportunity for those wide receivers in that area of the field. Add or buy Marlon Mack. So Marlon Mack ended up playing 10 more snaps than Frank Gore in week 7. He outsnapped him for the first time all season long. Now, I'm not ready to say that Marlon Mack is going to take over the Indianapolis backfield, because the reason Mack was on the field so much is because the Colts on Sunday saw an ultra-negative game script against Jacksonville. That means more passing, and for the Colts, that means more Marlon Mack. Now, don't get me wrong. If I were coaching the Colts, Marlon Mack would almost always be on the field. Marlon Mack is the best running back that the Colts have. It's not even close. Frank Gore has a minus 0.22 rushing net expected points per rush rate. You guys probably don't know what that means, but let me just tell you, it's very not good. That's one of the worst numbers in the NFL. Fumbling has to do with it, but regardless, it's far worse than Mack's 0.01 rate. Mack is above average, Frank Gore is far below average. And on top of this, Marlon Mack has a 37.5% success rate, Frank Gore's is at 25%. To put this another way, Marlon Mack is not only more efficient with each rush, but he's doing it more consistently. It's not like one big run is buoying his numbers. The big question here is whether or not the Colts will realize this. It's whether or not the Colts want to run Marlon Mack more than they currently are. It's a coaching decision. But for now, I would at least add him off the waiver wire if he's for some reason out there. And if you want to take a chance, I wouldn't mind just sending some bench players for Marlon Mack. Buy Adam Thielen. I mentioned Thielen last week, and I think that he's still a very strong buy in fantasy football this week, so I figured I'd mention him again. The truth is, being without Stephon Diggs has really hurt Adam Thielen in fantasy football. My buddy Pat Thorman of Pro Football Focus tweeted this the other day. Over the first 5 weeks of the season, Thielen ran from the slot on 64% of his routes. Over the last 2 weeks, without Stephon Diggs, that number's fallen to 37%. That means that Adam Thielen has been forced to the outside, and when you're forced to the outside, you're playing tougher cornerbacks. But the peripherals are there for Adam Thielen. He's currently got a top 10 target market share in football. He ranks in the top 10 in total air yards this year, but he just continues to defy all logic in not finding the end zone. His reception and yardage totals tell us that he should have more than 3 touchdowns this year. But he, like Demaryius Thomas, has not scored a touchdown. Perhaps things will get going this week against Cleveland in London. Add TJ Jones. Another player that I mentioned last week and I'm going to reiterate this week is TJ Jones. He should probably benefit the most, the more that I've thought about it, without Golden Tate in the picture for a couple of weeks for the Lions. In week 6, remember Detroit had a bye this past week, TJ Jones ran 61% of his routes from the slot. Prior to that game, 39% of his routes were coming from the slot. What does that tell you? Well, Golden Tate left the game, so they utilized TJ Jones more in the slot. That means that he probably has the slot role for the Detroit Lions. So he might be a decent filler for you during this hectic bye week period. That's especially true if Golden Tate ends up missing a couple of weeks, because TJ Jones gets Green Bay in 2 weeks. Buy Joe Mixon. Now, am I a believer that Joe Mixon next week, or maybe even the week after, will officially be the Bengals every down back? No, because the Bengals have been illogical with how they're using their running backs up until this point. But am I a believer that the Joe Mixon owner in your fantasy league is sick of owning Joe Mixon? Yes, I can almost guarantee that. What your eyes are telling you when you're watching the Cincinnati Bengals is that Joe Mixon is the best running back in that backfield. And what the data is saying is that Joe Mixon is the best running back in that backfield. Jeremy Hill has a 21% success rate. Giovanni Bernard has a 26% success rate. Joe Mixon has a near 36% success rate. Joe Mixon has been the best running back in the Bengals' backfield this season, and it's not even close. The Bengals just aren't utilizing him. But if there are two things to get you kind of excited about, it's that over the last three games, we've seen Joe Mixon's rushing attempt market share rise 3.37%. That's good. And Cincinnati has a fairly soft schedule upcoming for running backs as well. They get the Colts, the Jaguars, who are a lot better at stopping the pass than the run, the Titans and the Browns in four of their next five games. So sure, try to buy Joe Mixon. There's upside there. But like Marlon Mack, we have to see if the coaches want to give him the rock more. When they clearly should. Drop Mike Gillisley. I talked about this on last week's 15 Transactions episode as well, but Deion Lewis is digging into Mike Gillisley's role, and that Mike Gillisley role is basically now Deion Lewis's role. Mike Gillisley has seen his snap rate torpedo the last couple of weeks. He had a 19% snap rate 2 weeks ago, and this past week against Atlanta, it was 18%. Meanwhile, Deion Lewis, 43% and 35%. That's an inverse relationship. And Deion Lewis, for the second consecutive week, not only out-snapped him, but he's out-attempted him. Gillisley is essentially worthless in fantasy football without a touchdown, and even those goal line looks haven't been solely his. Deion Lewis has two goal line carries to Gillisley's one over the last two games. So if Deion Lewis is still out on your waiver wire, definitely go add him. But I'm at the point where you can just drop Mike Gillisley. Sell Pierre Garçon. You guys might be shocked to hear this transaction because you know that I love looking at touchdown regression and using that as a buy low, sell high type mechanism. And Pierre Garçon has not scored a touchdown this year. Regression should eventually hit Pierre Garçon, especially with the volume that he's seeing. But here's the thing, the 49ers schedule does not get any easier. Next week, they have a decent enough matchup against the Eagles, but then San Francisco gets the Cardinals, the Giants, and the Seahawks in three straight games. So Garçon's going to see Patrick Peterson, Janoris Jenkins, and a lot of Richard Sherman. And in the fantasy football championship, because we want to be forward thinking here, San Francisco faces off against Jacksonville's secondary. Jacksonville's secondary is frightening. They're so good. So Garçon should be fine from a floor perspective each week, but I don't know if that ceiling is eventually going to hit. I'd be really worried if I were a Garçon owner. Add Josh Doxson. So it looks like the shift from Terrell Pryor to Josh Doxson is officially here. Because on Monday night, Josh Doxson ended up playing 84% of the team's snaps, while Terrell Pryor sat on the sideline for most of the first half, and he only ended up playing 47% of them. Now, Josh Doxson was a really, really good prospect who just hasn't been able to find the field due to injury. He had great workout measurables, and his college production was really, really strong, especially his touchdown scoring ability. During his final year at Texas Christian, Josh Doxson accounted for almost 36% of his team's passing touchdowns. Now, that's not Calvin Johnson type elite, but it's very good. And it's something that Washington could really use from that wide receiver position, especially from Terrell Pryor, who's only found the end zone once this year. Now, Doxson finished Monday night's game with 5 targets, 3 receptions, and 39 yards. That's not a great stat line, especially against beatable cornerbacks that Philadelphia has. Maybe that's slightly concerning that he didn't do more. But even still, he's just now trying to get real game reps. This is the first time that he's really played a significant amount of snaps. And his increased snap rate tells us that Washington wants him on the field. And if he's on the field, he has a good chance to be fantasy relevant. Add Josh McCown. When Josh McCown has faced good matchups on paper this year, he's actually performed pretty well. He's failed to throw a touchdown pass in 2 games. One of them was week 1 against a better than we thought Buffalo secondary, and the other came against the Jags. I just talked about how the Jags were really good against the pass. Scary good. Over the last 3 weeks, Josh McCown's faced Cleveland, New England, and Miami. All beatable secondaries. And he's tossed 7 touchdown passes. This week, he's going to be at home to face the Falcons, who have given up a touchdown pass to every single quarterback that they've faced this year. And that includes Mike Glennon and Jay Cutler. So while their net yards per attempt against may not look awful, when you adjust that for strength of schedule, the Falcons' secondary is not that good. It's still a bottom 10 unit according to our numbers. And that could lead to another decent day for Josh McCown. McCown is probably the top waiver wire quarterback option out there this week, unless someone like Andy Dalton is there for you. Add Tyler Kroft. Now, the reason that Andy Dalton is so intriguing this week is because he's facing the Colts. Indianapolis' secondary has been horrible this year. And then on Sunday, they lost rookie Malik Hooker to an ACL tear. And that injury could be big for tight ends against the Colts too. Or I should say the Colts are going to become even worse against the tight end position. Because even with Hooker, they ranked 10th worst in fantasy points allowed to the tight end position this year. Tyler Kroft has been playing over 90% of the Bengals' snaps over the last 4 games. And he gets the Colts this week. He's averaged 5 targets per game during this Tyler Eifert-less period. He should be able to take advantage of this weak defense. Add the Bengals defense. The Bengals don't have very high ownership right now, and I would assume a lot of that has to do with the fact that they went to Heinz Field this past weekend. But they're only owned in 23% of Yahoo leagues. Every non-Tennessee team that the Colts have faced this year has been able to get at least 3 sacks on Indianapolis. And only Tennessee and Cleveland, 2 of the lower-tiered secondaries in football, weren't able to get an interception against the Colts. So at home as 10-point favorites, the Bengals are a great, great option this week. Add the New Orleans Saints defense. As you guys know by now, I like to give a 16th transaction on this podcast that you can't find in the 15 transactions column. And this week, it's to add the Saints defense. I know it's a lame additional transaction for the week, but there really aren't obvious transactions to add here, and I don't want to say something just to say something. I can tell you that I considered saying buy Michael Thomas, but like, his market value is probably just a tad under where it should be. It's not like he's a glaring buy. So let's talk about something that will help you in week 8, and that's adding the Saints defense. The unit itself is much improved this year. They'll be at home against the Bears. They're 9-point favorites against Chicago right now, so there should be a negative game script for Mitch Trubisky, meaning he can't throw the ball 7 freaking times in this game. That will not happen. I can guarantee you that. Anytime you can get a negative game script against a bad quarterback or maybe an inexperienced one like Mitch Trubisky, you do it. You want those defenses. And I love that the Saints are at home as well. And while we're at it, talking about the Saints, I know that I mentioned Michael Thomas, but if someone's willing to part ways with Alvin Kamara right now, I'm into buying him as well. So there, I basically gave you 3 transactions in one with this additional transaction. I hope that makes 16th Transaction Twitter very, very happy. That's it for today's show, though, everyone. I appreciate you listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the show, do so by going to iTunes, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Google Play, and Stitcher. Also, don't forget to leave a rating and review on iTunes. I'll draw a reviewer's name at random at the end of this month for a chance to win a free NumberFire premium subscription for an entire year, so get on that. Also, don't forget to follow me on Twitter, @LateRoundQB, and if you have questions for this week's mailbag show, feel free to send them to jj@numberfire.com. Thanks, everyone. I'll talk to you Thursday with the Start Sit Show.